Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Welcome to another episode of Out of the Pods. I'm Deep T.
And I'm Natalie, and happy Wednesday.
Today's lesson is do not believe everything you see on the internet.
I agree. With Perfect Match season 3 being out and everything isn't what it seems.
And not to mention, I feel like I have not posted on my Instagram in so long, and it seems like I'm just having the time of my life, and I am, but that's not the full story. Like, normally, I'm just chilling at home doing nothing. Like,
no, literally, when I posted on my social media that Deep T and I were at a music festival together this weekend, people were like, I can't believe you went out and, like, you know, went to this festival for multiple days. And I was like, you don't even know what it was like.
Girl, we are tired.
We were tired. First of all, Deep T had to drag me out of my house. And the entire way to the festival, actually at the festival too, I was complaining. I was like, I'd rather be listening to music at my house. Okay.
Yeah. Live streaming Lollapalooza.
And I was like, it'd be better than this experience than like literally being in a crowd, not being able to breathe. I was dehydrated.
I can't believe that this was my 6th year going. Like, obviously I love Lolla so much.
You love music.
Dude, I don't know what it was about this year, but I was so tired and I only went for 2 days and pretty sure I got like 25,000 steps each of the days, even though we were being golf carted around everywhere. I was like, am I good? Like, I'm tired.
I didn't get that many steps. I think mine was around like 10,000, but my ankle started to hurt and I was like, it's our age. I was like, I'm getting old. Like, yeah. I just can't do it anymore. But it was, people were like, oh my gosh, you're having so much fun. And I was like, I'm not.
What was really fun though, and I feel like specifically this year at Lolla, there were so many reality TV people and influencers out and about. I'm like, where did they all come from? Because I don't remember this many people coming before.
No, I actually really like that because I don't know. I like seeing or meeting people who I saw on a reality TV show, especially the ones that have like such a crazy edit. And then you meet them in person and they are so nice. Like, so nice. And you're like, wait a minute. Like, yes, I'm watching you for entertainment on my TV. And I know you're like entertaining and doing crazy things. But I was like, I just realized like everyone's just a normal person, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And what's really funny about it is like we saw Taylor from Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. Remember we were both together and we're like, should we say something? Is that awkward? Is that weird to just go up to them?
We like fangirled. We're like,
should we? Yeah. And it's just so interesting because everyone's just so normal. She was the sweetest human I have ever met. It's just so different to meet them in person versus obviously seeing them on TV. That's why I don't believe everything on the internet.
We also met Madison from Love is Blind season 8. She's also on Perfect Match season 3, which is currently airing right now. We're going to be talking about it. She came up behind us and like tapped us on the shoulder during Olivia Rodrigo's set. And she's so beautiful. But most importantly, she is truly, truly so nice. Like, very nice.
I'm not going to lie. Obviously, it was like a 2-minute interaction. But when she actually scared the crap out of me when she tapped us on the shoulder. I was like, oh, who in the hell? And I looked over and I was like, oh, my God. And she was so, so, so cute. Like, I don't know. Something about her energy was really sweet.
I really like her on Perfect Match, actually. And I think that any sort of like backlash and hate she's getting from the show, which I don't think is a lot, but I feel like the men on that cast, like some of them don't like her and I'm not sure why. But I guess, look, I know it was just like a 2-minute interaction, but I think it's like the way she approached us and how like kind she was. She was like a ball of energy. And I think we only share that because I think it was very different than the energy she brought to Love is Blind season 8.
Yeah. I think she was just there looking to have a good time, because I remember she said to me, she's like, I'm just wearing this scarf over my head and I'm putting glasses on and hoping no one sees me so I can just enjoy the music. And I was like, girl, you're my vibe.
Yeah,
that's
no.
The move.
The thing I love about Lollapalooza is I feel like all these people come to Chicago to attend. Mm-hmm. And like, look, I'm going to be real. I know that Chicago has a bad rep for most people. Okay. Mm-hmm. If you don't live in Chicago, I feel like you just think like Chicago's this dangerous place. You got to come to the city. And people are like, oh my gosh, the city is amazing. And I was like, yeah, it is. It really is.
No, I would like to continue for people to keep thinking that Chicago is dangerous. It's scary. Don't come here. Don't come here. We don't want you to live here.
Don't raise my rent prices, okay?
Yeah.
Don't raise our rent prices.
You know what's funny? On TikTok, I saw a bunch of videos of people like actually giving advice about Lala, but they're giving them the wrong advice so that they don't end up in the city. Like, don't come to the city type of situation. And I was like, that is really terrible, but genius. Because yeah. Chicago is such a big, small city that like, yeah. if it's exposed for how amazing it is, I feel like it's going to be so packed.
Oh, it's like a big secret how amazing Chicago is. Mm-hmm. I love how are we biased?
No. Yeah. And plus we're outing ourselves. Yeah. We're like, oh, don't come here, but it's amazing.
I think people don't realize what a big, small city Chicago is. So on our cast of Love is Blind, obviously everyone was based in Chicago. There's 15 women, 15 men. And I feel like 90% of people already knew each other. Like, I feel like most of the women already knew each other. They crossed paths. And most of the men knew each other. Like, they hung around at the same place, which is kind of weird because I actually didn't know anyone, even though I was born and raised in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what? Like, how do you guys all know each other? But yeah, like, don't you feel like all the women kind of like have seen each other around or they had some sort of connection?
Yeah. And I don't know if we're in a different boat because like I didn't go out much before the show. So maybe I just like wasn't meeting them. But then once we like everyone was exposed as in
everyone,
like,
after everyone met each other.
Yeah. Then you're like, wait, there's like small little connections to everyone and somehow everyone is connected. So it's like, a weird feeling.
And then once we met everyone after filming was done, I realized, wait, I see you guys all the time.
Yeah. Like, you're like, you go to this grocery store? I had no clue.
And I was like, what are you doing at this restaurant on a random Tuesday?
Yeah.
Or like walking around outside. Like I'd just be like on a walk, like a 20-minute walk. Mm-hmm. And I'd see like 4 cast members. And I'm like,
yes.
I had no idea we shared the same path. Yeah. Like crazy. Yeah, well,
and then you start to change it because you're like, I'm good on seeing you.
I was like, wait a minute. When I'm on walks, I don't want to have any social interactions. So I'm changing my route.
Yes.
Like, God, I was like, I don't want to see you.
This is so bad of me. But even if I like do recognize someone, I'm walking up to an intersection or something and I see someone I know, I'm like, I think there's another way I could go where I could avoid conversations.
Unless they're like, hey, hi.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I couldn't hear you. I had my headphones in.
Oh my God. No, I feel that. There's moments where I just like need time. Like I was like, I don't have the space for social interactions. That was me from Lollapalooza. I feel like, okay, I know I'm being dramatic. It was definitely so much fun and I was so lucky to be there. But I've needed 2 days after to like recharge. Like I'm and I'm still not at 100%.
Oh, I'm sure you're not. The fact that I am in Cancun right now for my niece's first birthday is actually insane because we did 2 days of Lala, went home like at 11 p.m. both nights, and then somehow had a 6 a.m. flight in the morning. And I was like, yep, I'm ready to celebrate. Yeah. And here it's like, it's an all-inclusive. So I've literally just been drinking and eating and I'm like, diet will start on Wednesday when I'm back.
Wait. I've only been to one all-inclusive in my life. And I don't know if anyone else has this mindset, but because alcohol and food are like typically included, I will eat so much more than I typically do because I feel like I need to get my money's worth.
Oh, yes.
You know what
I feel
saying?
Like that's every single person. I hope that's every single person.
I will eat even though I'm not hungry and my stomach hurts and I'm just like, you know, like my stomach's extended. I'll be like, no. Mm-hmm. Gotta have 2 more lobster tails to make this all-inclusive worth it.
Dude, I literally at the pool yesterday, everyone was ordering things and my mom looks at me and she goes, what did you order? I was like, oh, I got fish and chips. I got wings. I got chips and guac and I got a burger. And you eat it all. And you eat it all. It's so bad. I was like, my mom looked at me. She goes, I think that's a little aggressive. And I was like, oh, what are you going to do? It's all inclusive.
The one and only all inclusive I went to for lunch, I ordered 6 poke bowls because I love poke bowls.
So good. So good.
I remember on the 6th bowl, like I was like, I don't want this. Like I'm not hungry anymore. If not, I should probably stop eating. I was like, no, I can't. Got to get that money's worth.
It's just like a cruise, dude. It's like, it's such a weird mentality where you're like, I want it all because you think you're paying so much. But in reality, your body's paying for it. Because what do you mean I drank 6 mojitos yesterday? Like, I need to chill.
Stop. No, it's so bad. One thing. Okay, this is like my vice. This is like my addiction. It's a virgin pina colada.
You and my entire family. Cool, cool, cool.
Oh my gosh. I could have 10 a day. And I have. Yeah. Like I have done it. Yeah. And I know I have IBS and you're probably saying, Nat, but you have IBS. I know.
I say that a little too often because Nat, it does not matter that you have IBS. Nothing in this world will stop you.
No.
And
no.
Definitely not your IBS.
A pina colada. Like, honestly, if I have like an addiction to something, it's a pina colada without alcohol, though. Like, it's like a little smoothie, you know, just like a little sweet pineapple coconut smoothie.
Okay. You and I are so different because I absolutely hate a pina colada. I tried it and I was just like, nope. Well, I don't like sugary things. I don't like sugary things. I've been drinking. I know.
You don't like sugary things.
Mm-mm. Just makes you feel so bad after. I'm just like, ugh. I'm a savory girl.
What do you mean? Every time I have a little sugary treat, I'm like on a high. Like I feel the best I've ever felt.
Yeah. And then you crash hard.
Well, you know, you win some, you lose some. You know, when you make choices, there's always a consequence.
True. Facts. But anyways, I've been loving it here. It's so hot, but oh my God, I see my family through the balcony right now. I need to stop. Okay. Anyways. We should talk about perfect match.
They're probably having so much fun without you. They're like, thank goodness Deep D's not here.
Natalie, if you only knew, I am the life of the party.
You are.
I really am. I'm so inclusive.
Our pop besties won't know this, but like Deep D is always the life of the party. She doesn't seem like it. Like, I feel like she doesn't seem like she would be. I feel like you give off more like you'll let someone else have the attention, like me. Mm. But it's crazy. Like when we are at a party, Deep D is the center of attention and I'm the wallflower, unfortunately.
No, you're not.
That's why I can Irish accent so well, because like no one really knows I'm there anyways. And then I just kind of disappear and everyone's like, wait a minute, how long has Natalie been gone?
Yeah, wait, you know what's so funny? I like to Irish exit, but I'm such a people pleaser that it makes me feel awkward. And when we were at Olivia Rodrigo, we were with like a bunch of bachelor people and yeah, you were in front, whatever. And I was going to Irish exit and I only told Serena, who was next to me, Serena Bitt. And I was like, hey, I'm just going to like, just in case, I'm just going to go. I just want to tell you. And I dipped out of there. And as soon as I Irish exited, I felt so bad, Natalie. I was like, oh, I didn't hug Natalie goodbye. And I was like, she's going to be fine.
I turned and I was like, where's this bitch? Serena's like, she left. And I was like, oh, of course. I was like,
honestly, I felt bad, but only for like a minute, because then I was like, I see her every day.
I've Irish exited on you like 100 times.
So 100 times. Exactly. So I'm like,
I would never leave you alone and you would never leave me alone. Like you knew I was with other people and like other friends.
Yeah. I would never leave you alone. Duh.
Okay. So I moved apartments 3 months ago after I came back from my solo trip. And every time I move, I want to refresh my decor a little bit. So I ordered a few things from Wayfair and I just want to move to a more cozier vibe. So I got fluffier pillows, darker towels, and new bedding from Wayfair. And I absolutely love ordering from them because they have everything from furniture to appliances to cookware all in one place. And I'm so excited to have a cozier home for the fall because summer's almost over, guys.
We actually got our podcast chairs from Wayfair and we absolutely love them. Both were delivered free, even though they're so big, and they were delivered super fast. I just love ordering from Wayfair. And Natalie, I also had the same thought as you. I'd love to refresh before the fall. And I really like that Wayfair has a huge selection along with inspiration for every space and budget.
So get organized, refreshed, and back to routine for way less. Head to wayfair.com right now to shop all things home.
That's WAYFAIR.com. Wayfair, every style, every home.
Before going to Perfect Match, though, I just feel like I have to give a dating update because I posted 2 Instagram reels. Everyone was like, are you in a relationship right now? And listen, pod besties, you know, if I'm in a relationship, I'm going to announce it on this podcast first. And then you'll see an Instagram post, okay?
Yes.
I would never do anything without your permission.
Yeah. Pod besties will always be the first to know and in the know, you know, before the rest of the world.
I'm just like dating around and like looking back, I was like, maybe I shouldn't post multiple men, but I'm like dating multiple people. They're new. I'm not showing their faces. I'm just trying to like visually show you guys I'm going on dates.
Have fun. Who cares? Like, again.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm having fun.
And it's your social media. You're allowed to do whatever you want.
Obviously, I'm dating with intention for a serious relationship. Mm-hmm. But I was like, am I seeing multiple people to like kind of figure out, do I really like them? Yeah. Like, it's just like a few dates.
So can I ask, how's the roster building going? Because, you know, we've talked about this on the podcast before. I am not a roster girl. Maybe at one point in my life I was in my 20s, but I just am so tired even with the one. So how's the roster life going?
The roster has dwindled. If I don't like feel something romantic by date 3 or like there's something that signals to me like this is going to work out long term, mm-hmm. I'm very quick to end it because I don't want to lead anyone on. There's pros and cons to dating multiple people. Pro, you're able to compare and contrast multiple men and figure out like, what do you like about someone? What do you don't? For example, I was dating a guy and actually our first date went so well. I texted my cousin, I think that this is my husband.
I think I remember getting that text too, actually. I was like, what?
Yeah,
but I love getting those texts because what if he is and then you sent that? You know what I mean? Like how romantic.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't.
Okay. Well, yeah. Well, he wasn't.
Yeah. Day 2, I was just like, no.
Yeah.
And then day 3, I was like, I don't know if I see this going anything beyond. But what's really nice about dating multiple people is I think with the guy who I called my future husband, there was some like red flags I saw. And I think I would have overlooked those red flags if I wasn't dating other people.
Yeah.
I would have kind of like justified and been like, oh, that's like, let's keep going with it. But I was like, oh, wait, I'm dating another guy who, you know, like just doesn't have red flags. And so that allows me to make a quicker choice. Like I don't actually have to deal with this and I could identify it a little bit faster. But the con of dating multiple people is it's tiring. And I feel bad about it. I'm not doing anything wrong. Again, like I'm very clear to these men, like, hey, we're just getting to know each other. I'm dating other people if they ask.
Yeah, I think it's just hard to navigate because you are giving a lot of your energy to trying to find the person. But if you don't put in the effort and the energy, it's not going to go anywhere. You know what I mean? Like you want to date to marry and that's your goal. So you have to like put in the effort to meet that goal.
And you know, I have no energy to give. Like I use all my energy to have this conversation with their pod besties. And the rest of the week, I was like, I don't want to talk to anyone.
Yeah, girl, you and me both, because I'm in the same boat. And I think like a couple episodes ago, we talked on this podcast about how I was like, oh, on the first date, you're definitely going to know if there's potential or if there's not. And I'm in the same boat of like, oh no, like after a few dates, I just know this person is not for me. And I was like trying to make it fit for some reason.
Yeah.
And it is such a daunting thought to me that I'm like, oh, I have to do the first date thing over again. Like it is exciting and it's fun, but I feel like at 34 now, I'm just like tired. I just want my perfect match, no pun intended, to knock on my door and be like, hello, I've been waiting for you for my whole life. Like, I don't know, my whole brain is like so like hopeless romantic because of all the Bollywood movies I watched growing up. It is my shit. And that's not reality. Yeah.
No. And dating takes a lot of effort. Like, think about the fact I have to pick an outfit, put on makeup, do my hair before date. Like, that's already an hour right there. And then you want me to talk with someone for 2, 3, sometimes 4 hours. The moment a date is done, like, I am out of energy.
You're just like so over it. And maybe we need to socialize more. Maybe that's our problem. I love how we just sit here and complain about it. But in reality, it's like, obviously, we're meeting fun people.
Yeah.
But so it nice. Just comes to an end. And then you're like, cool, like, never going to think about you again.
Yeah. No, it's not fun, like, asking the first date questions, like being like, what's your favorite color? How much money do you make?
I'm just kidding. I don't know.
I do like the nervousness sometimes and the butterfly-y feeling that comes with a first date. I think it's like, and then like that first kiss. But I'm so ready for my last first kiss. Like, I don't want any more first kisses.
No, I do not let men kiss me on the first date. I was like, I don't know where your lips have been. I was like, not even first.
Yeah. Truly, no, actually that.
No, I was like, I'll give you a high five. I was like, we're not even hugging. After a first date, I just start backing away and I just wave like, bye.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm a chronicle, like, not that I've been on a lot of first dates recently, but the few that I have, it's always hugs. Like, I'm hugging you and then like, bye-bye.
Yeah, no. I was like, you're not even walking me home. I was like, I want to go home by myself. I was like, I need like some space right now. I was like, we've been talking all night. I was like, I just want to, like, I just need to be with myself. One thing I will say about first dates, I will get like a little sweaty. Like when I first arrive, I'll just be really hot because I get sweaty when I'm nervous.
Yeah.
And I'll always have to lie that I ran to my date because I was running late, even though I walked really slow or took like an Uber. Yeah. Because I just know I'm going to be sweaty. So I have to lie and be like, oh, sorry. I was like,
meanwhile, he sees you walking out of the Uber and he goes, oh, yeah, that was a long walk to the front door.
If I take an Uber, I'm like, can you just drop me off at the corner?
And yeah. Like, I'm just so smart.
And I'll like walk quickly in and be like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sweaty. I just didn't want to be late. So I like really fast walked or ran here. Like I have to lie about it.
Honestly. And it's also so scary when you're going on a first date and you've never seen this person before and you're walking in the restaurant and like you're the second person or the last one to walk in. And I'm like, which one is he? Like, who?
I'll text him and be like, what are you wearing? And they're like, a black shirt. And I was like, so are 50 other men in this restaurant. Like,
but I mean, thank God for reservations. So they like take you there. But it's so awkward from the reservation table to your table because, you know, he's like eyeing you down. I'm just like, God bless, God bless.
Or you're going into a bar and you scan the bar and there's like 20 men sitting there. So you go up to the hottest one and you're like, are you Sean from Hinge? He goes, no, I'm not. And then your actual date is like, I'm Sean. And I'm like, well.
Wait, that's so funny. That's so awkward. He's like, Sean, Hinge. Anyone from Hinge here?
Anyone? Sean?
Please stand up. I'm so dead.
No, I know. And I was like, okay. Well, anyways.
Anyways, modern dating for you, friends.
But I feel like we're very close to finding our perfect match. And speaking of perfect match.
Nice segue, Nat.
You like that one?
I loved it. You know, I love a good segue.
Well, let's get into Perfect Match season 3 then.
Okay. I know I was complaining and throwing a fit that we had to watch Perfect Match because I hated season 1 and season 2. But hello, I think season 3, Redemption, I love it. It's actually very entertaining and I wanted to watch it and it wasn't like homework.
Well, okay, like I agree, but I don't think it's like that much entertaining. And I'm only comparing it to like the reality TV shows that are really popular right now, like Love Island. Like, I feel like it doesn't even hold a candle to Love Island. But I think they're trying to go for that like raunchier Love Island vibe.
Yeah, so absolutely.
I think they're going in the right direction.
Yeah. And you know what? I think the raunchy parts of Love Island is the parts that I kind of hate. Like when they zoom in on the makeout sesh, I'm like, ugh! Like, please spare me. Like Leah would say, spare me. But I think the reason why this season is much more successful, or I personally like it so much more, is because it's not just Netflix reality stars. It's like a hot like mix of people and from different shows. And some of the people didn't know each other, which I think I liked a lot more because it makes it seem more genuine.
What I think Kinetic Content and Netflix did well this time around for Perfect Match season 3 is they casted really, really well. Yeah. Like most of these people on the cast are personalities that are really dynamic and just make really good reality TV, even though they might not really be good people per se, you know?
Yeah.
But it makes it really entertaining to watch.
I have dealt with hair thinning on and off for the past few years, and I honestly think it's stress related. But if you're dealing with hair issues or thinning or shedding like I am, but feel totally stuck on what to try next, I understand. There are so many products out there, and it's hard to know which ones are actually going to do anything for you. That's exactly why I gave Nutrafol a try. It's not just hype. It's physician formulated, clinically tested, and even recommended by dermatologists.
So Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand, trusted by over 1.5 million people. Like, you can feel great about what you're putting into your body, since Nutrafol hair growth supplements are backed by peer review studies and NSF content certified, the gold standard in third-party certification for supplements.
See thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding in just 3 to 6 months with Nutrafol. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code OOTP.
Find out why Nutrafol is the best-selling hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code OOTP. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code OOTP. What did you think about the first 6 episodes?
Oh, I absolutely loved them. I was actually really interested to see where, like, Ollie and AD storyline would go, because
that was,
I was
messy.
Like, yeah, it was messy, but I didn't expect it to be messy because it was so good, like, the first 4 or 5 episodes. Like, nothing was going on. So I was like, where is, like, the turbulence going to come in? But my favorite storyline was, I think, Clayton and Rachel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I just didn't know much about it.
I guess my first confusion is I don't understand the premise of Perfect Match. I kind of wish it was like, Are You the One? Do you know that reality TV show, Are You the One, that used to be on MTV? I think it's now on Netflix, like the old seasons of it. So on that show, there's like a perfect match that's established by producers, and like people on the show need to find out like who their perfect match is based on people's ideal types. I kind of want that to be the premise of Perfect Match. But I don't understand, like, they're like, I need to find my perfect match. Like, what does that mean? Like, just finding someone you like? Like, I'm confused.
Yeah. I actually, Are You the One's premise is really, really good. But yeah, I think, honestly, that's why I hated season 1 and season 2 of Perfect Match, because it literally was just like, what's the point of this? Like, you're just hooking up hot people expecting there to be a perfect match. Like, it's like a made up perfect match thing. But yeah, I guess they're just trying to date to see who they like. But bringing in your exes is actually crazy work to me, especially for Clayton and Rachel. Like, I feel like that girl, poor girl, has been through enough. Like, why are you bringing her on here and making her see Clayton, of all people?
If you guys don't know, Rachel and Clayton are from the Bachelor franchise. So Rachel was a contestant on Clayton's season of The Bachelor. I never watched his season, but I know exactly what happened between the two of them, because he treated his top 3 so poorly. Like, all the clips went viral on social media. Like, people were like, he is one of the worst bachelors ever in that franchise. Like, it was bad.
I had no idea what happened on his season, but I was like, what is going on? Why is there so much like animosity here? But the fact that Rachel was in his top 2 and he slept with both of them and then had to tell them he did, and then broke up with both of them for a different girl that was on his season who did not make it to top 2. It's like, wait, what? And it's probably him following his intuition again. Like, please, if I hear that one more time from him, he's ruining the universe for me.
I just feel like he's a selfish person who doesn't understand the consequences of his actions, and he keeps blaming it on fate and intuition. Yes, when I describe like connections with other people, yes, I use the words fate and my intuition. But you don't say it to the person you're breaking up with.
No.
You know, you don't say, my intuition is saying something's wrong. Like, use your words. Like, what's wrong?
Yeah. Talk about not taking responsibility. He goes, I'm so sorry I have to do this, but my intuition is telling me that I need to break up with you. It's like, sir, please take responsibility for your feelings.
If someone told me that, like, their intuition is telling them that I am not the one, that's more offensive than them telling me why I'm not the one.
No, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? I was like, yes. Tell me I'm ugly. I'd rather hear that than like my intuition.
Yeah, you're weaponizing your the instincts and the intuition thing. But like, I'm all about following your intuition. But when you're hoarding other people, like, let's pause and think it through. Like, your intuition can't just change. Like, what are you thinking with? Like, I didn't understand that piece.
No, but every time Clayton said he's sorry, like I feel like he said sorry maybe 500 times throughout these episodes.
Yeah.
It actually like angered me because I was like, I don't believe you. Yeah. I feel like he also makes a comment about not trying to be the bad guy. And I was like, I feel like once you say that about yourself, like, you know, you're coming off as the bad guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's, I'm sure, like very hyper aware of how reality TV has affected his life, considering he got a lot of backlash from being on The Bachelor. And I'm sure he's being like a little bit cautious, but I really do think I think he had his redemption moment a little bit because he did allow Rachel to stay.
Yeah.
And he knew he was going to go home. But at the same time, he knew that there was no one in the house for him. So it's like, it's an easy toss up to be like, yeah, Rachel, you can try because there's no one here that I like.
Like in the boardroom, like you could tell he was trying to put himself on a date and then he realized like, oh no, we can only choose men.
Wait, so, I'm so happy you saw that because I could see it in his face that he was like pissed. He's like, damn, what do you mean?
But also on Rachel, she says that this is the third time that Clayton's done this to her. I feel like if I was in her position, and like, let's say I saw my ex on this show and he already hurt me twice before, like literally wanted to connect and then rejected me. How do you go back a third time?
But since you are on the show and you have traveled to be here, if your ex is the only reason for you to stay in the house, would you take it though? I'd be like, you know what? You've done this to me twice. Let me use you this time to get into this house. Right?
Yes, maybe. Maybe I'd be like, yeah, I want to stay on the show. I'm just going to use you. But I feel like she wasn't really using him because when he was like, hey, I don't think this is going to work between us, she started crying and she's like, this is so mean. You're doing this again. So her reaction to him breaking up with her made me feel like, oh, she genuinely wanted to give it a third chance.
Yeah. No, you're totally right. She did. She absolutely did. But like, if I was in her position, I'd be like, okay, well, he's here, but I'm going to like explore other options. I don't know. And I really don't like the guy that she's with, Scott.
But I feel like her and Freddie had a strongish connection. And I feel like she could have explored that and tried to match with him. Though I will say, actually, I take that back because I think he would have stayed loyal to Madison.
I think so too. Freddie's too nice of a guy.
Yeah.
And he seemed like he was just in it to with one person, you know, like I don't see him dating around too much, weirdly.
I agree.
But I don't know. Rachel, though, the guy that she's with now at the end of episode six. Yeah. Scott. I don't like him at all. He's from Love Island, I believe. And I don't know, like just the way he was talking about her or just in general about women. It was just like he was just trying to get in the house and like be cloudy. I don't know. It was just like weird energy. He's like, oh, yeah, like we get on and she's hot, but like there's no feelings quite yet. But I was like, OK.
I think that there's two ways. Either he wants to take it really slow because, again, he's only been in the house for like a few days. Or he's just kind of like leading her on because he wants to stay in the house.
Yeah.
Which makes me really sad if she really likes him. But a piece of me thinks she also doesn't really like him.
I think so, too. I think they're both in it together just to like keep moving.
Yeah. Which I don't blame them. I feel like that's kind of like the show. You kind of like coast until maybe someone else comes in that you could connect strongly with.
I honestly do think that Rachel deserves the best because I feel she's just been through so much. And, you know, I just want her to find love. But I'm not going to lie, because she was on The Bachelorette, tried to find love that way. I really don't think that reality TV is probably the place that she's going to find it, especially Perfect Match. So, you know.
Can I be honest about Perfect Match? Obviously, we know Ollie and AD like find love and they're having a baby now. I don't think anyone signs up for Perfect Match to find true love.
I absolutely agree.
Like, if it happens, it happens. But I think people are more like, let's do it because I want to be, you know, and I'm not saying this as like a bad thing because I do feel like, you know, like influencing is people's careers. I feel like it's a way to kind of like extend your relevancy.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And it's like if we have fun at the same time, you have fun. Or if you meet someone cool, you meet someone cool. If you have an opportunity that falls into your lap, you absolutely should take it. Like anyone else would do it too. So there's no judgment there whatsoever. Okay, but let's talk about Freddie and Madison. What did you think of their connection? Because, you know, we have a sweet spot for Freddie.
We do. Okay, we're both friends with Freddie. And obviously we met Madison at Lollapalooza. And just based on that interaction, like I think she was so nice and just like super charismatic. But I'm not going to lie, this connection really surprised me because they had such different edits on their respective seasons of Love is Blind. But Madison clarified on her Instagram stories on Monday saying like she never saw Freddie's season of Love is Blind. And I don't think he saw her season of Love is Blind because Perfect Match filmed last year around August. So like they didn't see their seasons of Love is Blind and they didn't know anything about each other. Because what I heard from cast members from the previous seasons of Perfect Match is that like people are very aware of each other's edits from the shows that they came from. And so that also impacts like who matches up with who. Like people will take that into account. So I think with Madison and Freddie, like they didn't know what their edits were on their seasons of Love is Blind. It's not impacting the way they think about the other person.
Yeah, it's always like a contest of like, oh my gosh, who do you know from this season or what was their edit? And I think it honestly does mess with people's, I don't know, the way they show up on this season and like who they pick. Like even when all the couples who win the challenges go into the boardroom, I feel like they just are so strategic in who they bring in. And a lot of it is based on who they were on their respective seasons or like the respective shows. Like one of the, I specifically remember, I don't know who it was, but like they were talking about the girl from The Mole and Hannah and how she was like very sneaky and gets what she wants from guys. And that's how like, you know, she moved through the game. And that's why they didn't want to bring Hannah on for Freddie to go on a date with him because she just moved so sneakily. And I feel like that's such a prime example of how, you know, the show that you were on and how you acted on that show could impact you in Perfect Match.
Which is kind of funny because Hannah was on The Mole where you have to be sneaky. I feel like that's not a real reflection of how she would act in like more of a dating show. But no, I totally agree. I will say I wasn't the biggest fan of Madison on her season of Love is Blind season 8. But I did end up liking her at the end. She gets messy and she'll call people out. And I was like, I really like that about her. I was like, she's entertaining to watch. I think season 8 would have been much more boring without her being in it. But I like her for a different reason on Perfect Match. Like, I feel like she's loyal to Freddie. She like has funny one-liners.
It was so funny when Madison said that Cody, her first match, needed a tongue scraper. I literally... He started cackling.
Yeah, like she's so entertaining to watch. So I like, I low-key really like her on this show. Not because we met her at Lollapalooza, like literally, like watching her, I was like, wait, she's like, she's kind of funny.
Listen, we saw her at Lollapalooza for like 5 minutes. So it's like, you know, there's not much to go off of, but the energy she gave off was really sweet. And, you know, while you were saying this, I was thinking, like, it's not about being nice. It's not about like, oh my gosh, they're such a trustworthy person. Reality TV is having interesting characters and people who 100%. Put on a good show. Like, I feel like even Shake, for example, like he put on a good show. Like he was a good villain. It was a good season because he was out of his mind. But it's so entertaining to watch. And
oh, you want to talk about out of his mind? Yeah. Who was I paired with?
I know. I'm not going to lie, like, I love us so much, but we are not made for reality TV and not reoccurring seasons. That's for damn sure.
No, 100%. Like, no. If I was not paired with Shane, you'd only see 5 seconds of me. They'd be like, was Natalie even on the cast? Like, who was that East Asian girl?
Oh my God. You know what? When I was watching our season back the first time, I was actually so annoyed because I remembered the conversations that they would film. And it's mostly just being like, you're totally right. And it's just Shake talking the entire time. And I'm like, great, cool.
They're like, you're just there as like a filler character.
Yeah. They're just, it's, you're too nice. You're too proper. We need to go pan out.
No, literally. I cannot believe that the summer is already winding down. Like, it makes me a little bit sad, but I'm just so glad I did a refresh of my wardrobe earlier this summer. I bought all my staple pieces from Quince. Like, they were my go-to this summer for festivals, dinners, and summer nights with friends. And obviously, I'm going to do another refresh for the fall, but their clothes are timeless. They feel luxurious. They look elevated. And the quality is way beyond what you expect for the price.
quality is definitely the way to go. And Quince has some amazing items from chic cashmere, cotton sweaters starting at just $40, washable silk tops, and classic denim pants. All of the pieces at Quince are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they're able to do that by partnering directly with top factories, cutting out the cost of the middleman, and passing the savings on to us.
Give your summer closet an upgrade with Quince. Go to quince.com/outofthepots for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/outofthepots to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/outofthepots.
But I will say Freddie is my favorite guy on the season, not because we're friends with him, but because he's just a sweetheart compared to the other men on this show. But I will say, I just feel like he doesn't fit in the crowd. He's very quiet and like doesn't stir the drama. I was like, Freddie, you got to do more.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I feel like Freddie is not messy. He's such a nice, genuine, beautiful soul. And he just doesn't need to be on this show, because he's not like you said, he's not like a Louis and he's not like an Ollie who's just like, I don't know, they just say such out of pocket things. Freddie's not like that.
He's not a JR. He's not a Daniel. Well, like, thank goodness he's not. But yeah, like one thing I appreciate about Freddie is like, he's just like a normal guy that just found himself in this situation. So I feel like he needs to be paired with Madison, because I feel like she's more like dynamic, you know, and like more fun to watch.
Yeah.
But I love that Freddie's on there. I feel like, you know, when there's always that one character on a show who's just like a normal person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, he's that for me. Just like what's that word? Like he is the common man.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like when everyone's going so crazy, he's the one you watch and you're like, no, that's normal human behavior. Everything else is kind of like nutty.
That's why I feel like, because he's so chill, that producers really did him dirty and came up with that whole, you have to send one person home and one person on a date. I think they did that specifically to get rid of Freddie.
Well, I actually had a different thought. Mm-hmm. I feel like they did that because they wanted Madison to spiral. Because remember when Freddie went on a date and Madison like started crying and Ollie goes like, you think he'd be going to war? Like, she was literally sobbing about it.
Yeah, that was
funny. Like, I feel like they wanted another moment like that. But then she was like, no, she's like, I'm just going to chat it up with these two men.
Yeah, honestly, maybe. But I also thought, like, because the other couple was AD and Ollie, that I was like, oh, this is like a weird strategic move from the producers. Because during the boardroom scenes, essentially, Nick is never in the room. He comes in and he's like, hey, this is what you have to do. And then he leaves. But for this specific one, he stayed there and kind of guided Lucy and Daniel to like choose who's most compatible and stuff. And I was like, oh, this seems weird and strategic.
Well, one thing I heard from the cast members from the previous seasons is producers do push like what happens in the boardroom. Obviously, yeah, that's edited out of the show. So I feel like the fact that Lucy and Daniel chose Freddie and Madison, AD and Ollie, like, I don't think that was by random. Like, I think there was probably a little bit of a push behind the scenes. I feel like the reason why they chose those two couples is first to see if Madison will spiral, but second, because they knew Ollie would like explore another connection and it would be messy, because AD is so all in on Ollie.
Oh my gosh. Let's talk about AD and Ollie for a moment.
We have to.
Because this fucking pissed me off. First of all, they seem so strong. They seem so like together.
Yeah.
Although Ollie does have some moments where he's like, I don't know, his character kind of shows a little bit and I don't love it, where he's like egotistical or he's like very like, not controlling, but he's like the jealous type.
Possessive.
But a little bit of jealousy is kind of attractive. So it's like, I'm not dogging him too much for that. But the minute this woman leaves the show, immediately he's like already rubbing on two other women, coming back to the villa, whatever, holding their hands. I do feel like it is so embarrassing probably for AD to watch this back, because Ollie acted like a fool as soon as she left. Like, I swear she probably hasn't even like packed yet and he's already like massaging other women and being super happy about it.
No, I know. Well, it's the fact that, first of all, she gets sent involuntarily on a date and he acts all pissy about it and possessive. Like, I'm sorry. I feel like the way he acted was a little bit of a red flag. Like, I understand that jealousy is like a normal human emotion, but to act like that, I was like, just didn't sit right with me. But on the same day, the moment AD is sent packing from the villa, like, there he is cuddling with another woman. I was like, I don't know, just something about Ollie rubs me the wrong way. I don't want to be too hard on him because obviously we know him and AD end up together. She's pregnant with his child. They're engaged, getting ready for a wedding. But I think I was just shocked that their love story on the show is kind of messy. And it's because of Ollie.
Yeah.
It's because of Ollie.
Absolutely because of Ollie. And like, obviously, AD is also exploring. But it is funny that they literally just announced that they're having a baby girl. I'm sure it's hard to watch it back.
I can bet you AD is seething at home. Like, you know, Ollie's sleeping on the couch. He's in timeout. She's like, you better be rubbing my feet every day because here I am making your baby, literally making your baby's eyeballs. And here you are disrespecting me on TV.
I'm so pissed. Funny. Yeah, especially because when he said, I think one of the girls asked him on the date and was like, oh, are you sad your connection went home? He goes, yeah, but this is making it a lot better. I'm like, gross, Ollie. Gross.
No, no, I know. My perception of Ollie is also based on how he acted on Love Is Blind UK. He was paired with Demi. And I felt like he love bombed Demi. He kept saying things like, I don't care about physical appearance. And then he ghosted her 2 days before their wedding and still had the audacity to say at the altar, like, I love you. You're my best friend. Demi ultimately said no at the altar. But I think back to that and think, like, what a shady guy who, like, kind of acted like he was in love with his fiance and led his fiance on just for the cameras. And then I think, like, the reaction was, like, mixed, like, oh, well, yeah, what Ollie did was wrong. Like, he didn't talk to his fiance for 2 days before their wedding and, you know, let her on. But he's not like a superficial guy. But then we get to this show and all this man talks about is looks. When he talks about liking another woman, it's all about their body. So that makes me think like Ollie just like faked a lot of things on Love Is Blind UK.
Yeah, I can't decide with Ollie if he's trying to put on this act of like, oh, I'm a good guy. But deep down, he like also wants to feel like he has a baddie or with a body. Like he always says things like that. And I don't know if he's like trying to act cool. I don't know what it is. But this season, I feel like it's showing a different side of him. Like, listen, we get it. Men are more visual. Like they go for physical, like, attributes, you know what I mean? Like, it's annoying to hear that and I hate it, but they are physical. But at least like a lot of men aren't pretending to be this nice guy that he makes himself out to be.
Yeah, like that's what bothers me because I think back to his season of Love Is Blind UK and I was like, you know what? Like, you actually treated Demi horribly. Like, it wasn't that evident at the time because you acted like physical appearance didn't really matter and you loved her. But I was like, now on this show, I realize like you kind of just strung her along and it just changes the way I view Ollie. I think it's hard again because we know he ends up with AD. The qualities he has on this show, on Perfect Match, his aggressiveness, his pridefulness, his possessiveness, the way he love bombs, I just want better for her. But hopefully he's changed.
I'm sure he's changed. Like, listen, every human changes, like, especially because the show was filmed like a year ago. We obviously want AD to be happy and like they're starting a family together. But what bothered me a lot on the show was basically he was like trying to fit this new girl. And he's like, oh, she's basically similar to AD, similar personality, similar looks, similar this. And it's like, she's not a possession to replace. Be like, oh, yeah, let me just like play with the shiny new thing. That type of energy. But I am so excited for the next episode because our girl AD is walking into this little mixer and I just cannot wait to see her reaction. And I hope she just goes in on Ollie.
I hope she literally puts him in his place.
Yes. And you know,
I hope
Sandy,
he's scared. I hope he's scared.
Yes. And you know, Sandy is going to have her back because she clocked it as soon as Ollie walked into the villa after his date, holding hands with the two women. Sandy's like, you were just crying 2 hours ago. I was like, clock it, Sandy, clock it.
No, I love that. I actually really like Sandy on the show. I didn't like her on the Ultimatum season 2, but now on this show, I think she's actually a girl's girl. I think she's silly, but she's also mature and communicates really, really well.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely love Sandy. I don't know what it is, but yeah, I didn't really favor her much on the Ultimatum because of her situation with JR.
I think it was JR, the reason why I didn't like her. I was like, I think it's more of like a JR thing.
Yeah, I agree. But no, Sandy is like super fun in this season. But I'm so sad that she's with Louis.
I know.
Because Louis's like a man child. He's literally 23 years old, doesn't know what he wants. I don't know what it is about him, but it is fun to watch them.
I think their interactions are kind of funny and like cute to watch. So I don't mind them being together. We're going to have some spoilers at the end and we're going to talk about Louis, but there are some things that are happening on the internet, which spoils what happens on the show. So
unfortunately, I thought it was just going to be AD and Ollie's announcement that was going to like mess with how I see these episodes. But the fact that there's also their drama, and I'm just like, no, not for my girl, Sandy.
But I love Sandy. I'm rooting for her. She's actually one of my favorites so far on Perfect Match, along with Lucy.
Oh, Lucy is the most gorgeous woman I've ever seen. Like, she's so stunning.
I love Lucy's personality, but she needs to run from Daniel, okay? I don't know if that's a popular or unpopular opinion, but I feel like I know Daniel. Like, I know that type of man, like, who is manipulative, sucks the joy out of a woman. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Okay, I do. Okay, you're going to hate me, but I'm going to disagree. I do think Daniel has things to work on. Listen. I think Daniel has things to work on, but I think Lucy and Daniel are such a good fit together. I honestly think they look so hot. Do I think some of his energy is problematic? Yeah, but that's because they're on a reality TV show. They have to kiss other people and go on dates. There's going to be a little jealousy and there's going to be a little bit of possession. And you know what? I think the way he apologizes and has the self-awareness to be like, wait, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to upset you. I get it. I know. I knew you were going to have a problem with that. But I do think that he has potential to be the perfect person for Lucy.
I'm giving Deep D the stink eye.
I'm sorry.
Have you learned nothing from our past relationships?
We have. And I do think that he has some ego issues, some jealousy issues.
Listen. I'm a jealous person. You're a jealous person. Everyone's a jealous person. We all feel jealousy. You know, I'm not Jesus Christ over here. We've all felt a little tinge of jealousy.
Sure.
I think it's a whole different story when you act on your jealousy in an irrational way or project how you're feeling onto your partner. And I feel like that's what Daniel does. Like the scene where he says, "You're embarrassing." Sure, he's feeling embarrassed because she was laughing with another guy, but he's blaming it on her. Like he's saying like, "You did that to me." And then she starts crying and he goes, there, like comforts her. And I've been in a situation like that. Like it's very, very manipulative and toxic behavior. Whether that's intentional or not, like he might not realize he's doing that and it's just the way he moves. But listen, I've been in her shoes where it's just going to like take the joy out of you, okay? It's going to make you a sad, sad girl. It's going to make you into a shell of a person.
No, I totally get it. But I think he's just like in his head. Obviously, they were literally just like laughing out about astrology or something stupid. So it wasn't even a big deal. But you cannot tell me, Natalie, that Lucy didn't know that that was not Daniel who she was giving that like high rating for the kiss for. Because Ollie literally has a beard. And I'm sure she made a mistake. But in his head, it's not a mistake. She did it on purpose. I know I'm trying to find excuses to his behavior. And I don't think there is an excuse. I just think that I think that they're good together. I don't know what it is.
I don't think they're good together. I hope, Lucy, if you're listening to this, don't take this as your sign to stay with Daniel. Okay, run.
No. At this point, if they're still together, then that means that I'm right because they've been together for a year. Just saying.
No, I'm sorry. Instead of Daniel being like, "You're embarrassing me," and being having a little man tantrum, he could have easily been like, "Hey, what were you guys talking about? You know, like, that I feel this sort of way because I saw this. So I just want to talk to you so I don't misinterpret anything." Yeah. It made me feel insecure. It made me feel, you know, like some sort of way.
Yeah.
That's a normal conversation. You don't go, "You're embarrassing me."
But the problem is like you and I have been in these like high stress shows before. It's you can sit there and like analyze and be like, yeah, this is how you should act. But when you're in the moment of the emotions and all the shit that's going on, you just act out of body, out of character sometimes. And that's what I'm hoping and thinking Daniel is doing because I really want them to work.
Look, acting out of body is like you have too many shots of tequila on screen, okay? Because you're a little bit nervous. Acting out of body is you say some weird ass joke. But I feel like if you are just making your partner feel bad, actually, I can't say anything. I called Shane a piece of shit. I'm always reminded being like, that was a mistake. But I said sorry afterward. I know that wasn't
he did
on camera.
Too. He did too. He did too.
But it's like a different type of sorry.
I don't know. I see potential. We'll see. I'm like, you know, I don't have high hopes though, because like obviously it's perfect match. Like who knows who's going to stay together. It's usually very short lived. Let's face it.
No 100%.
But yeah. Also, I just have to say, I absolutely love Juliet.
She is a firecracker.
She's a firecracker. And that's why I think people are so surprised when she's like acting so crazy on the show. But people who watch Siesta Key, me, know that baby girl is always on one. Like she gets into physical fights. She throws fits. So seeing her on Perfect Match and acting this way was actually really funny. And it kind of brought me back to her Siesta days.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, that explains a lot.
Yeah, not great. Not great, but I'm sure she's feeling some type of way about it.
Well, I have a feeling that she's going to be brought back, so we'll have to see what happens this Friday.
Eek. I'm excited. Who knew I would be like, I'm excited for Perfect Match. But I am.
No, same. I feel like I'm more excited to see what happens with Adi and Ollie. Before we get into spoilers, there were two things that are happening on the internet that I want to talk about. And it's mostly about Hannah from season two of The Mole. So we saw her on the board, but we haven't seen her in these episodes, these first six episodes. Well, she created like two TikToks where she talks about how she was like completely cut out of the show. She found out from a reporter at a Netflix event, like she wasn't on the show at all.
That's actually really insane. Like imagine you spend all this time like hiding like what's going on in your life to social media, and then to find out you're completely cut from the show is that's really tough.
Like you know took 6 weeks off of work or whatever to film this show and you're completely cut out. I would be so mad. But then she created another TikTok about how Netflix wouldn't let her announce her pregnancy, but only the two stars were able to, obviously the two stars being Ollie and AD. I thought that was so weird that Netflix wouldn't let her announce her pregnancy or reveal who the father of her child is.
You know, I'm very interested to see why they announced AD and Ollie and not anybody else. Like, I'm sure they wanted to use them for like the Love is Blind reunion, like footage maybe. But like, I just think it's so weird that they spoiled it, because I think it would be better if we didn't know.
Well, I was thinking maybe it's because Adi and Ollie are just more well-known in the Netflix reality TV show universe. Like, I feel like if people saw, like, Adi walking around pregnant, like, you know, there would be some TikToks. They'd be like, oh, yeah, she's pregnant, you know? I feel like if Netflix didn't reveal it and announce it, like, people would already find out. And they would probably know Ollie is the father of the child because, you know, they, like, live together. I'm sure they'd be seen together and she's pregnant, like...
Actually, you are so right. Like, I feel like I didn't even, unfortunately, know who Hannah was until I saw her on the board in the boardroom. But like, even then, I had no idea. So yeah, you're totally right. Like, AD and Ollie are just like so well known that it would be hard for them to even keep this secret.
They're bigger because Love is Blind is a bigger franchise within the Netflix world. And Hannah is from The Mole, which I don't think he even got renewed for a season three. It just has a smaller fan base. So that's my assumption. But if she got completely cut out of the show, that's what she's saying in the comment section of these TikToks she made. She's like, you're never going to see me again. Like, I'm completely out of the show.
That's wild.
Why not allow her to, you know, announce her pregnancy and announce the father of her child and her engagement?
Producers are so weird because you just never know, like, what their thought process is behind the decisions they make. But I don't think they realize how much it impacts the participants and like how they live their life.
Yeah.
But interesting.
I think it's so weird because Hannah was announced as part of the cast for Perfect Match. And then there's a cast member whose name is QT and she's from The Circle. She was also cut from Perfect Match, apparently.
Yeah. So. I mean, I feel for them, but at the same time, it's like, it is what it is. They're kind of waiting on the back burner to see if they're going to be let into the house. So there's always a possibility that they're not going to be shown or come in.
Well, I guess they were actually at one of the mixers and they just completely cut them out.
Well, interesting. So crazy? It must be episode 7 that's coming up, because like all the girls come in to meet the guys and then, you know, vice versa, all the guys meet the girls. So I wonder if they're just like in the background of those. But that's the unfortunate reality of reality TV.
Think about every season of Love is Blind where there's other engaged couples that get no screen time.
Exactly.
And they're in the background and they're also, you know, celebrating their engagements with all of us as they happen in the pods, and it's completely cut.
Yeah. Yeah. Crazy. Okay, so guys, spoiler alert. This is a bot that you should stop listening if you don't want any spoilers. But Louis is dating Huda from Love Island, which this is like so shocking to me. First of all, I didn't know that Louis from Perfect Match and Too Hot to Handle, he's friends with Miguel from last season of Love Island. I had no idea that they were all connected, but I think it is so messy for him to be dating Huda because it's clearly for clout. And that is why everyone from season 6, like Miguel, Leah, all of them unfollowed Louis because they think that he's with Huda for clout.
Oh my gosh. Which is that confirmed? Or this is confirmed. Just allegations?
No, it's confirmed. Like, that's why they're like, I didn't unfollow Louis because he's with Huda. I unfollowed him because his intentions are really bad and he's clout chasing, essentially.
Who said that?
Miguel wrote it on his stories, and then Leah's been in comments and stuff. But I mean, I guess the spoiler here is that Louis and Sandy don't end up together.
And he doesn't end up with anyone from Perfect Match. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw a photo of him and Huda on like a red carpet. I was like, wait a minute, I literally just saw him on Perfect Match like 10 minutes ago. So,
no, it's so funny, Natalie. I didn't even realize that that was the same Louis from Perfect Match. And I didn't connect the dots until like 2 days ago. And I was like, oh, that's the same person.
I wouldn't have either. But then, you know, when you just saw his face and you look at a photo and be like, why does he look so familiar? You know, Netflix and Kinetic Content PR is like, what the hell?
Yeah, like, what the hell, Yante?
Come on, Louis. Like,
or they're loving it because Huda is the most popular from this season. So they're like, yay, Louis. You know, they're living for this.
You're totally right. Like, I didn't watch the last season of Love Island USA, but I know Huda's name. Like, I feel like she's just everywhere.
Yeah.
And I feel like people are going to get to know Louis's name, which maybe will have some people watch Perfect Match and churn. Like, I don't know. But I also feel like now I'm watching the show being like, okay, like, Louis doesn't end up with anyone. I mean, maybe he does, but like, he's not with them anymore.
Yeah. And that's why we all know Perfect Match is not that serious, except for Ollie and AD. Really, they're just the exception to the rule.
But it's really serious for them. Like, they're having some private conversations about it. I'm very curious, like, if AD's going to address Ollie's edit on her podcast.
I don't know. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how she's going to navigate that, because obviously it's relationships have roller coasters, especially in reality TV. But I think their baby is going to make it so easy for her to just forget everything and be like, yeah, that was in the past. Let's bygones be bygones.
Well, I'm hoping that just these first sets of episodes, you know, he's just getting more of a negative at it, and hopefully it gets better because we know they end up together. So I was like, maybe it'll be more up instead of so up and down in the next set of episodes.
Exactly. We'll just have to wait and find out.
All right. Well, Pod Besties, let us know what you thought of Perfect Match season 3.
And make sure you guys leave a review and subscribe.
See you next Wednesday.
Bye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.